Good morning. We are going to read this morning from the book of Luke, in chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
Well, thank you, Val. Wasn't that song, "Come All Ye Unfaithful"? You know, it still got me. I better talk about something else, otherwise I'm going to get emotional in the first minute of my sermon. That's not good. It's not a good sign. When we think about the gift of Christmas, and what a beautiful gift it is, not because of our deserving, not because of our efforts, not because of anything we have done. The gift was already given because of the love of a God, a love that we can't really fully get our heads around and capture completely in our minds, because we're infinite. He's infinite. We're so finite that it doesn't always make sense. But come all ye unfaithful, all you weak and unstable. I love that line. Christ is born for you. You know, when we talk about Christmas, we often think about gifts in terms not of needs, right? But we think of Christmas in terms of gifts meeting our wants. And in the hierarchy of human needs, you know, the question of what the world needs really was answered like 60 years ago in a song, though it has yet to be accepted into practice yet to date. It was back in 1965. For all of our old-timers here, okay, so for Brandy and all of your generation, you can check out right now, because this is ancient history. But in pop culture back in the 60s, you know, there was a song on the airwaves and answered that question. What the world needs now is... Oh my gosh, we've got a bunch of old-timers here. This is great. Yeah, love, sweet love. Again, yeah. Oh, you're doing the lyrics. Look at this. Yeah. It's the only thing that there's not, you know, there's just too little of. Okay, thank you. Okay, somebody listened to a lot of music back in the 60s. I'm not going to go any further down that road. What happened in the 60s stays in the 60s. Someone who grew up in the 60s. Yeah. That's it. It has expired. Okay, we're all good. All right, but that was the cry of a generation, really, wasn't it? But it was the cry of every human heart, and that is the solution that Christmas brings to every human heart. This is the answer to the great question of our existence and our desire to feel like we are significant in this world, that we have meaning in this world, that we matter to somebody, even if everyone else seems to be against us, that there is a message in this Christmas story about the love of God for you and for me, and it's incredible. It is amazing. It is life-altering, truly life-world-changing, if we allow it to get below the surface of once a year saying Merry Christmas. You know, when I talk about love, I want to say there's a number of ways that we tend to express love or understand love. I'm going to categorize them in four different categories. I'm going to call love type A, okay? Love type A is the love that says, if you scratch my back, then I'll scratch yours, okay? It's a love that is reactionary and it's self-interested. That's what it is, but we say that. So if you please me, then I will love you. That is love type A, and that's all around us. Love B is a little bit different. In fact, it's kind of the opposite of love A. It's if I scratch your back, then you'll likely scratch mine. Okay? So it's still self-interest, but it's a little more civilized. Love A basically says that I will give having already gotten from you. Love B says I will give hoping that I will get something back from you. It's transactional, but it's how we operate. Love C, well, I'll take a moment on this one, says this, that I will scratch your back without expecting anything back. Now, this is self-sacrificial love. This is the kind of selfish giving action. The best of friends and family operate in this kind of fashion when they're at their best. But there's a fourth option, and I call this love D, which says, I will scratch your back even if you stab me in the back. This is a selfless, sacrificial, and truly supernatural love. It is, love D is basically saying, I'm going to bless that person who has betrayed me. I'm going to serve that person whom I don't like. I am going to, you get the point. It's the love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you kind of love that Jesus talked about and is really the love at the core of this gift of love we talk about on Christmas. This is God's love. Even though he knows we're going to fail, even though he knows we are unfaithful, that love is still given to us, and that offer to come and receive it is still extended to each of us. It's that love that we find in John 3:16, and we all know this verse, but we need to hear it again and afresh. For God so loved the world. Okay, this is audience participation time. How many of you live in the world, at least physically? I know some of you live in other places. Yeah, I get it. But yeah, but in physically, you're here. Yeah, I get it. Back to the 60s. There we go. So this message is for all of us that says that God so loved you and me, each and every one of us, that he gave his one and only son, that for whoever, and this is the open invitation, this is the y'all come, whoever, come and receive this gift of love. Now, sometimes the church, sometimes Christians, sometimes Christianity gets labeled as being exclusive and excluding. That somehow that there is this thing that says that it is us and them. And sometimes we act that way because we're humans and we do that kind of thing. But really at its core, we see that this is the most inclusive invitation ever given. Anybody in the world, whosoever chooses to believe is availed this gift. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Come, all you unfaithful, all you weak and unstable, come, you are not alone. Here I go again. For Christ is born. Christ is born to you. This is the story we see even in the nativity story that we were read this morning. That this gift that God has given to the world and announced then to the shepherds that there's good news that will bring great joy to all people, that a Savior has been born. God's gift of love wrapped in this little baby, offered and foretold to the shepherds. And so then the shepherds have to accept that good news and then go seek that news for themselves. And when they see the child lying in a trough, wrapped in these cloths, then they know that this is true, that God has moved into this dark, broken world to bring his love to bear for them. And they are now tasked with sharing the love they have found with all they know. I love that story. Thank you, Val, for reading it for us. It was so profound to hear that the shepherds come and they see, and they don't just stop, nor do they just kind of go back to whatever was happening before. No. What do? Was anyone listening to Val? Val, what did they do? Okay, but after they found him, what did they do? Told everybody. That's right. I got something to share, because this is too good for me to keep. And that's what we as a people have to share, this gift of love. Martin Luther King Jr. called love the greatest force in the universe. And if we want to talk about a world that is broken and needs some help and some change, this is the avenue, this is the change, this is the answer. It has the potential not only to change the world around us, but it also has the potential to do something maybe even more miraculous, which is change us. We all get set in our ways, don't we, folks? We all get our patterns and our routines. Sometimes we need to have a shake, a little bit of a jolt that sets us free. I love this. Pastor Erwin McManus said this, that what you love determines who you become. Check that, okay? Hold on to that thought. What you love determines who you become. I mean, all of us kind of wonder, what are we going to become when we grow up? Donna, what are you going to be when you grow up? Yeah, she's still thinking about it. But what we love determines what we become. And who you love will shape your life. If you love security and you want to love, let's say, love money, love possessions, that's going to shape your life. That's going to determine what you become. If you love tribalism and if you love kind of feeling that source of anger about those around you who are not doing what they ought to be doing, then that's going to determine your life. If you love your rights and you love the idol of I must be right and be seen as right, that's going to shape your life. But if we allow this love for God to shape us, you know, this is why I think Jesus said, the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with your mind. That this is the first and the greatest commandment. Because what we love determines who we become. And who you love will shape your life. Remember that. Because Jesus went on to say, he gave us the answer to that. Who you love will shape your life. The second is like it, he said. To love your neighbor as yourself. You see, Jesus understood this sense, this makeup of how it is that we're human and what it is that gives not only our lives meaning, but allows our life to impact the world in the ways that God designed each and every one of us to. He didn't design us so that we could live for our own selfish ambitions. He designed us so that we would be his kingdom's work in the world. He didn't just love us because we are so awesome. Because in honestly, probably only he thinks that about us. But because he wanted that awesomeness that he has embedded within us to be transformed by his love to make an impact on those around us. So it's not just living out our life. It is about living a life that matters, that affects, that changes the lives of those around us, that affects those who live in this world around us, that God has placed within our spheres of influence, within our circles that we run in. And the world around us needs it, doesn't it? How many of you have turned on the news lately? Anybody? Anyone watch the news? Okay, for all of you who didn't raise your hand, good for you. I bet you're having a merrier Christmas than those who raised their hands. The world around us is hurting and is broken and is angry and it's confused. And it invites us into a place of being angry and broken and divided and confused as well. Picking a side and being angry at the other side, doing whatever it takes to make sure that you are heard and that you are seen as right. Just recently, and I love this, it was an interview recently, former President George W. Bush was interviewed in Crawford, Texas, where he lives now. And they asked him about that. Do you watch the news? And he, of course, said he did. And he says, what do you think of the world? And just seeing the news every night of the protests and the anger and the violence and everything that goes on in the world around us. And he said, history goes in cycles. And we are in the midst of a dark time. Check this. This is really cool. We're in a dark time, a down cycle, but we will come back to the light. But in the meantime, we need hugging instead of yelling. Yeah, ain't that the truth? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's right. Not more yelling, not more dividing, not more anger, not more judging, not more getting after one another because of what someone else isn't doing that doesn't make me happy. We need to be more like those shepherds who hear about this love, who race to Bethlehem. And then once we see that this love is true and this love is real, then we need to take that love and to be telling all those that we see around about it and sharing that love, showing that love, being that love. Both receiving and becoming the good news of Christmas. That is your task. To not only receive the gift of love, but to become that gift of love to those around you. This love of Christmas is intended to be inclusive. It's one thing to love those who are in our circles, but it's another to love beyond those circles, to get out of our box, to get out of our little self-safe, protected little environments, our little silos of safety. We are invited to be this gift, to be the shepherds of our day, to take this gift that God has given and to share it with those around us. Because it's time to say Merry Christmas. So what the world needs now is love, sweet love, and you are tasked with both receiving and becoming that gift. I want to invite our worship team on up to the front and let us pray. Father, I thank you, God, for this morning that you have gifted us with. God, just continue to deepen in our heart our ability to drink in, to receive that love, to enable it to be the salve for that brokenness, the healing for our hurts. Father, I pray that you would help us as we come to that place of looking to you to be the answer and not depending on others who will always let us down, be the source of our security. And out of that new place of your gifting, Father, enable us to give that love away. Help us to find those ways to get beyond ourselves, to love in a way without expectation of return, but to love as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.